Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So if you're a person over 40 who either does or does not have heart disease, you have reason to be confused this morning by the brand new recommendations from the leading heart health groups. They involve sweeping changes in how the drugs known as statins are prescribed. Many people with high cholesterol won't be trying to lower their levels to a certain number anymore if doctors follow these guidelines. People with healthy cholesterol levels could find their doctors recommending statins anyway. Let's try to understand what this is about. And if you are among the tens of millions of people who might consider a change in what you do. With us is Alice Park, health correspondent for Time magazine. Hi, Alice. Thanks so much for coming on.
Good morning.
And so by way of background, what is a statin exactly for people who don't know? I think I hear it casually referred to as a cholesterol-lowering drug. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is. So what statins do, they're a new class of drugs that have really, you know, been considered a wonder drug. Yeah, and they're among the most prescribed drugs in the United States, and they work on the liver to kind of just tamp down the body's production of cholesterol. But it turns out that they're also great at lowering inflammation. So they're being looked at in a number of different diseases in addition to heart disease, things like Alzheimer's and other conditions where inflammation is an issue. And they have a relatively safe profile.
So listeners, if you have questions about this new recommendation or set of recommendations, and I imagine many of you do because I think the early reporting on this has been all over the map, and some of the things are counterintuitive based on what you thought you knew about statins and other drugs and cholesterol and heart health, call up and Alice Park will do as good a job as she can of explaining it to you. 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. Maybe this is relevant to you or to a parent, whatever. If you have questions, we'll try to have answers. 212-433-9692 or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Let me ask you an underlying science question here. Is there a new view based on research that finds cholesterol is not the risk factor for heart attacks and strokes that people used to think?
No, these guidelines don't represent a change in what we understand about the role that cholesterol plays in heart disease. I think what it more reflects is more sophisticated understanding of how we identify those who are most at risk. So the big issue is that the previous guidelines where, you know, doctors have always told you, know your numbers, and there have always been targets, you know, for people without a history of heart disease, get your cholesterol levels, to like 120 or below, and LDL bad cholesterol levels to 100 or below. It turns out that those numbers were not quite arbitrary, but not really based on solid scientific study. So there was nothing magic about those numbers. And so many heart experts are really applauding the fact that these guidelines sort of do away with those. And instead, what they do is they focus on four groups that they believe, based on, you know, the studies to date, are at highest risk of developing heart disease due to high cholesterol levels. So that includes people with bad cholesterol levels at 190 or above. But it also includes, for example, people with type 1 or type 2 diabetes, and it includes people who have had a risk of heart disease, which we know they are at increased risk of having a recurrent event. And in addition, this new group who have a 7.5% increased risk of having some kind of heart issue in the next 10 years. And while that sounds, you know, very complicated and arbitrary, there is a new calculator on the American Heart Association site that allows you to determine what your risk is. And this now includes things like your age, your race, your sex, and your smoking history, which previous numbers really hadn't. And there's new data suggesting that these factors are really also important and play a role in determining how cholesterol can contribute to your risk of having heart disease.
One article I read today gives an example of someone with normal cholesterol levels, but who has high blood pressure and smokes, and that person might now be prescribed a statin. But a statin is a cholesterol drug, as you said, not a blood pressure medication. Do you understand why statins for that person?
Because the factors that contribute to heart disease extend beyond cholesterol. So that's what these guidelines are trying to do. And as I mentioned, the statins not only lower cholesterol, but also work on reducing inflammation in the body. And, you know, high blood pressure can be an indicator of some inflammatory processes. So that's part of what the heart experts are trying to get at with these guidelines, is to really expand them to include people who they believe could benefit from, you know, both the cholesterol lowering and the anti-inflammatory properties of statins.
Bernie in Oceanside, you're on WNYC. Hello, Bernie.
Hi, good morning. Well, this issue concerns me at several levels. One, because I'm 67 years old, and I've been taking a statin from the time I was 52, because I had a marginally high level of cholesterol. The other thing is that I'm a retired pharmaceutical sales representative, and during most of the years that I was working, my job was to promote and sell statins, including Zetia and Vytorin. Well, Zetia is not a statin, but Vytorin. My question is, if someone has been on statins for a very long time, is it possible for them to go off statins? And related to that, generally speaking, we always read that statins are very safe medications, but alternative medical discussion says that that's not true, that they can be, in fact, extremely harmful to people in a number of ways. So if you could respond to those, I'd appreciate it.
Bernie, thank you. What about with respect, and certainly, and like, you know, looking at our caller board, we have any number of alternative medicine oriented folks calling to say, no, statins are not nearly as safe as the medical establishment makes them out to be. What are the best numbers that you know of with respect to the side effects risks?
Well, the side effects do include issues with muscle pain, and in a very small group of people, small percentage of people, they will have some adverse reaction to them. No drug is 100% safe. No drug will, you know, have no side effects. So they're not. I think the heart experts acknowledge that and they recognize that. What's important about these guidelines is that they should engender conversations with your doctor. So, you know, the caller there, I think his case is an interesting one that his, you know, doctor should discuss with him about whether he's got the other factors, if he plugs his sort of medical history into this calculator, about whether that still indicates that he should be on a statin or not. And even for those who do qualify for a statin now based on this new calculator, it doesn't mean that they, you know, that their doctor will automatically write a prescription. I think the responsible physicians will have these discussions with their patients and really assess their individual risk to determine, you know, for example, are if you're at the borderline, would changing your diet or exercising more or doing something else you know, help you to lower those, lower that risk of having heart disease better than a statin.
And he talked about whether it's safe to go off a statin after he's been on it for a long time. Obviously, that's a question, Bernie, that you'll have to ask your doctor. But to take that and put it in the larger context of what these recommendations actually say, I saw one article last night that referred to the number of Americans on statins going up from 42 million to 72 million if everybody follows these new guidelines. But another article said it's unclear whether more Americans or fewer would wind up taking the drugs. Can you unpack that?
I think that's still it's a good question, and the reason why the numbers are all over the place is no one knows. You know, it's unclear how doctors and patients are going to interpret this. Not every patient, obviously, is going to welcome the idea of being on a medication that could potentially have side effects. So I think what we're trying to do is determine if, theoretically, everyone who now, you know, meets these criteria that these two heart groups have come up with, were to go on a statin, you know, it could range from 30-plus million to 70-plus million more people on the drugs. But that doesn't mean that everyone will decide to do that. As I said, you know, some patients will decide to change their diet and exercise habits and try other ways of lowering their risk of heart disease.
As is always recommended, either first or in addition. But the caller also mentioned Zetia. And another finding in this research that led to the new recommendations is that that drug, which is not a statin, is just not effective in preventing heart attacks and strokes. What is Zetia, and what is this new finding about it?
That's right. It's a different class of drugs that attacks cholesterol in a different way. So it doesn't work the same way statins do. And that's why, based on the studies that they've seen, the two groups determined that this drug wasn't as effective as statins, which also, as I think we've been discussing, lower inflammation levels as well. And there's really a growing appreciation that sort of the synergy of really attacking cholesterol and inflammation is one of the best ways to reduce risk of heart disease. So the fact that the other drug works in a different way and doesn't act in the same way on inflammatory processes led the groups to say that they wouldn't recommend that class of drugs as they would statins.
Let's take another call. Here's Richard in Brooklyn. You're on. I'm sorry. It's Athenis in Montclair. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. Yes. I was wondering if there was any research of the effects of statins on brain health, because I heard that LDL is instrumental in the development and nourishment of the brain, and that if we dampen that down, if there's some kind of long-term effect down the road that will cause brain issues, I was wondering if you could address that.
Have you heard of anything like that, Alice?
Yeah, there have been a lot of interesting studies, and they're still ongoing, about what role statins can play in other conditions, you know, particularly Alzheimer's. So there's some interesting and encouraging evidence that, statins may work in reducing inflammation, but, you know, balancing that with the body's need for a certain amount of cholesterol and fats, for doing what it for certain cellular processes is still an open question. So I think that's an area where you should keep an eye out for continuing research, but it is one where a lot of scientists are really actively working.
You know what? We're going to keep a couple of lines open right now for any cardiologists who happen to be in the audience right now, or other doctors, maybe you're an internist who sometimes prescribes statins, but particularly cardiologists, on how you're reading these articles. Do you think this is going to change your practice? Do you think that these recommendations from the American Heart Association and these other groups involved here are going to make you tell some of your patients to do things differently or recommend statins for more people who may not even have current heart disease? What is this going to change in your practice? If there are any doctors, particularly cardiologists, listening right now, we just have a few minutes left in the segment. So if you call right up, doctor, we will put you right on. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 with Alice Park, Time Magazine health reporter. In fact, Alice, a doctor friend once told me that statins were for people who already had some heart event in the past to prevent a second one. But the issue for him was whether statin should also be used for people with high cholesterol but whose hearts are still healthy, because in his opinion, there was no data either way about whether the statins would prevent first heart attacks. And he thought maybe he should prescribe them for some people because the research did indicate they were effective at preventing second heart attacks in the right group of people. Is that a question relevant to the new guidelines?
It is. It goes right to the heart of them, because one of the groups now is exactly include exactly those people, you know, otherwise healthy people who haven't had any evidence of heart disease, but who may be at slightly elevated risk of developing heart disease in the next decade. And the question has always been, how do you identify those who are most vulnerable, you know, and how do you pick out those? And cholesterol is one of the issues. But as we understand increasingly, having high rates of inflammation is another one. And there have been some recent studies showing that even people with so-called, under the previous guidelines, normal cholesterol levels in the normal range, but who had high levels of inflammation as measured by, an inflammatory marker called C-reactive protein, tended to have a higher risk of heart attacks and heart disease. So that evidence, I think, was part of what these two leading heart groups considered when they came up with these guidelines to incorporate some of the new data showing that, you know, it's not just the cholesterol story when it comes to heart disease. And it represents a more sophisticated understanding of how we identify people who are currently healthy but who may be at increased risk of having heart problems in coming years.
And the blowback continues. Judith in Orange County, you're on WNYC. Hello, Judith.
Hi, Brian, longtime listener and supporter. I just have a comment and a question. My question is, who supported this research? And my comment is, what a wonderful thing this will be for drug companies, increasing their revenues, and the doctor's offices will be more clogged with drug reps. And we Americans are so lazy, we don't want to do diet and exercise first to address our condition.
Thank you, Judith. So to her first question on who supported the research, that this obvious potential windfall for the pharmaceutical companies was based on, is there conflict of interest here? Have you teased that out in your reporting?
The research was not, the guidelines, I'm sorry, were not based on a single study. They basically looked at the accumulated evidence since the last guidelines were issued, which were back in 2002. So it is really an amalgam of clinical trials that included some, but the only data, the way that the drug development works in this country, is the only data on, you know, for example, safety and efficacy of drugs that are submitted to the Food and Drug Administration for approval come from the pharmaceutical companies. But after a drug is approved, studies are conducted by academic institutions, by scientists at academic institutions that are independent of these drug companies, and some of those studies were included in this review as well.
All right, let me get a doctor in here before we run out of time. Jack in Fresh Meadows, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you for putting me on the air. I'm Dr. Jack Pasquale. I'm a physician nutrition specialist. I have a different focus. I really try to work on lifestyle modification for patients. I do prescribe statins. Actually, I take a statin myself. You know, what I try to do first is to see if it's, if lifestyle can help. In my case, it did not. I have a familial hypercholesterolemia. My mother as well has a high cholesterol, so we wound up being on statins. But I still try to focus on making sure that people eat properly, and you know, if there's a weight issue or if they're diabetic or whatever, I try to get them to lose some weight.
Of course.
And so exercise is also extremely important. That's really the only thing that's been effective in getting people's HDL to come up.
So in the context of all of that, have you seen these new guidelines, and do you think it will change your practice at all with respect to when you do recommend statins?
It may. I mean, the joke amongst a lot of physicians is they should be putting statins in the drinking water because there's so many people that need to take it. I think, you know, with like any medication, you know, you always have to have a dialogue with your patient and see, you know, what's going to be the best approach overall. And, I think statins are a godsend. I think they really have revolutionized the treatment of coronary artery disease, you know, atherosclerosis, et cetera, besides, you know, other things too. You know, fewer people smoke these days, but I think the big problem now that we have is this obesity epidemic, and as a result of that, all these people with diabetes.
Never mind the drinking water. They should put statins in the sodas.
Oh, No. You don't want to put it in the seltzer water. That's much better.
That's a joke for anybody who didn't get it. Jack, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And Alice Park, Time Magazine health reporter, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, should the United States and Canada become one country? We'll talk to an author from Toronto proposing just that. And whose healthcare system would we have? Stay with us.